Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Another airline goes bust.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The airline business must feel like the sky is falling. Frontier Airlines is the latest to file for bankruptcy. Unlike several others, though, Frontier says it will keep flying for now. Meanwhile, it looks like the American Airlines saga is almost over. American has canceled another 500 flights today, but all of its MD-80s should be back in service by tomorrow night. American canceled 3,000 flights this week at a cost of tens of millions of dollars. In Congress, the House has delayed a vote on a free trade agreement with Colombia. Some business groups are worried that could hurt future trade deals. John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
White House trade officials said the House vote was a slap against an important ally. Fred Berkston with the Peterson Institute for International Economics says this damages U.S. credibility.
I think it drives a major hole into the global trading system. America's trading partners will no longer have any confidence that deals they do with the United States will be carried through by the Congress on a timetable that's certain and without bringing in amendments or ancillary issues.
I think that's nonsense.
AFL-CIO Policy Director Thea Lee says the White House should have negotiated a trade deal with better protections for workers in Colombia.
Countries are always going to be interested in negotiating trade agreements with the United States because it's a very attractive market.
The White House is now reconsidering whether to submit pending trade deals with South Korea and Panama for congressional approval. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Big rally for the stock markets in Asia today. They closed 2 to 3% higher. European shares are up almost 1% so far. The Dow is at 12,581. It gained 54 points yesterday. The Nasdaq was up 29 to 2351, and the S&P 500 climbed 6 to 1360. An important court case in Europe has been settled. How important? Well, it involves Marks & Spencer chocolate tea cakes. Let's bring in our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, in London. Stephen, please, tell us about this case.
What we've had is a whole army of lawyers toiling for 12 years over this case. Millions of dollars in legal fees have been spent, and it's revolved around this kind of central issue of whether Marks & Spencer's chocolate-covered mini cakes are indeed cakes or cookies.
Well, that is a big issue.
It really is. Well, there's a lot of money involved here because food is not subject to sales tax in the UK. However, candy is. Now, the UK tax authorities have ruled that Marks & Spencer's chocolate-covered mini cakes were heavily disguised cookies and therefore taxable. Marks & Spencer said no, and they demanded something like $7 million in tax back from the tax authorities. They have now finally got that money back.
Are there any other cases out there like this?
No, I think this one is pretty unique. The whole thing, according to the Times of London, is completely ridiculous because, as everyone knows who's tasted these chocolate-covered mini cakes, they are so dangerous and addictive, they should have been treated as Class A illegal drugs and, as such, would not have been subject to tax.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by America's Family Physicians, offering patient-centered care so employees can better manage their health and employers better manage their costs. AAFP.org/value. By Lions for Lambs, starring Tom Cruise, Meryl Streep, and Robert Redford, on DVD today. And by Clarkson Potter's The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now.
After day one at the Masters, Tiger Woods is 4 shots off the lead. A lot of people are anxious to see if Woods can pull off the remarkable, winning all 4 major tournaments in 1 year. While professional golf is seeing a boom period, recreational golf is in a recession. The number of people playing has fallen off or stayed flat every year since 2000. Time to visit with our Business of Sports commentator, Diana Nyad. Diana, what's going on?
Well, one of the reasons is fatherhood, honestly. They don't have that luxury anymore because women are bringing in half the bread for the family, and women are saying, you're the father. You're going to do the weekend fathering, too. There are 100 golf courses now in Long Island, and the owners of those courses have gotten together recently, and they said the number one factor of the drop-off is fathers just feel like they can't take that time away from their families anymore.
Hmm. So time is an issue because the sport takes hours to play. What about money? Is that a factor?
Money's an issue, too. I mean, we used to also say that golf kind of lives above the national economy problems because it's for the wealthy. But the irony is there was this push to make golf the people's game, make it the blue-collar game, build municipal courses, have everybody get out there and enjoy it, which was great. But the developers thought, you know, hey, the baby boom generation is retiring. Tiger's bringing in people. Let's build. And they built, and they built about, 3,000 courses were built from 1990 to 2003. Well, now we're suffering under whether we're in a recession or not, and everybody is suffering. I don't care, even if you're the millionaire, you're feeling like, I better pull back something. It's going to be my golf game.
Well, how are golf course owners responding to this to try to get people back to the course?
There are a couple of things they're doing. One is, as you know, golf's laid out in 9-hole, meaning 18-hole, configurations. And one thing they're trying to do is parcel it off differently because it would be easy to divide that into six and make 6-hole rounds. So you could play 1 6-hole round, which might only take you an hour and 15 minutes, under an hour and a half. They're also holding gigantic weddings and fundraisers and charity events because, the place is beautiful. You can put a giant tent around the 18th green. That keeps people from playing that day. but you make more money with the wedding than you did with the members being happy.
Well, that's interesting. All right, Diana Nyad, our Business of Sports commentator. Thanks.
I appreciate it, Scott.
Feel free to share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.